And so I'd like you to stand now as we get ready to welcome Bishop Jan and Gail Lake in Jesus' name.
You're awesome. Wow. You may be seated. Thank you so much. We have never been introduced like this, ever, in 15 years. This is awesome. God bless each and every one of you. Some of you don't even know us. Probably your first time. Is this your first time has ever seen us? Raise your hand. Oh, wow. You're in for a treat. But we are so thankful and so blessed how God has orchestrated our lives, even with the Store family. And it's been nice connecting with your pastors. You are blessed, and you know that you have an awesome pastors that's full of the Word and faith. They never speak defeat, never. Even if they're going through a trial, they never speak it. They speak what God's Word says. And that means a lot to you as what are you, congregation?
Yes.
Whatever you are to them.
Body. Yeah. Body of Christ.
Yeah. I am who I am, and I'm not very intelligent in ways, but hey, God made me the way I am, and I take it and I run with it. Sometimes I put the horse before the cart instead of the cart before the horse. No, that was the way it's supposed to be. Sometimes I put the cart before the horse. But you know what? And then you get to thinking, oh, yeah, she meant that, the horse before the cart. But anyway, isn't that awesome how God creates us?
Yes. Amen.
I can't ever be like your pastor's wife. And you can't ever be like me. And I can't be like you. Because God made you just like you are.
Amen.
And I'm just thinking sometimes about you guys going over to that marriage conference. It's great to read. To go and be refreshed in your marriage. We travel a lot, and if you follow me on Facebook, I call him my Uber driver. And there's sometimes I say things like, my Uber driver's coming on to me. And my husband goes, you better show me, you better tell, it's me driving. I said, oh, they know it's you driving, you know, and he's invited me to come into his house, you know, should I come? Should I go? You know? And so then I have, of course, now everybody knows he's my Uber driver. So if you ever see it, he's my Uber driver. He's not a safe Uber driver sometimes, but he's a good. See, he's just like you other men. Take chances. He took a chance. He took a chance this morning. I thought I was going to be with Jesus before we even got here. But we made it. Hallelujah.
Glory. Glory.
So I just want to tell you, don't get sleepy in what you're doing for the Lord. Don't just get relaxed in what you're doing. Say, oh, I do this all the time. God, you just know my heart. You know I love you. And you start quoting scriptures. But get into the Word and let the Word come out of you fresh. Some of us can quote hundreds of scriptures, but have we learned any new ones lately? Hello, Gail, I'm talking to you. I know you're talking to me. I've got to do that. Because the more Word we put in our hearts, the more that we can combat the devil when he comes at us. He's no respecter of persons.
That's right.
And I love what the Word of God says. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I love to say, and forevermore. God bless you, folks. You're precious in our eyes. We pray for you as we pray for your pastors. We pray for you that you will get jobs and better jobs and bonuses and sales and commission and favor. Bills decrease. Woo! Bills paid off. Finding money.
Amen.
God's going to talk to somebody in their ear and mention your name. They don't even like you. And they don't even know why they're coming and giving you money. But God has said in your ear, hey, go give them some money. So if God is dealing with your heart to give your pastor some money, don't overlook that. Do that. Bless them. Because when you bless them, God's going to honor you and bless you even more than what you could ever imagine or think. So today, expect somebody is going to bless you.
Thank God.
Tomorrow when you wake up, did it happen? No, but I'm expecting it today. So keep expecting that you're going to have what the Word of God says beyond what you could ever imagine or think. We can't look at what we see, Rachel. my dear sweet Rachel back there. We've gone a long ways together, and she's just as beautiful as she was 40 years ago. No, it's not that long. But God is good. He loves us. So you're blessed today because this Uber driver, my honey, of 53 years, he's going to bless you with the word today. So open up your eyes, your ears to what God has for you in your heart and receive what God has for you. God bless you. Love you.
All right. Wow, I have to say, like Gail, we've never ever been introduced like that before, pastors, and it's humbling, but it's fun. really is. And we are so thankful for the privilege that we have to be able to be here with you and your lovely pastors. We had some time last night to spend together, and it was just a great time of fellowship and loving one another and hearing their heart and their vision and them letting us know what's happening with their children and us letting them know what's happening with ours and them with theirs. And that's what friends do. That's what friends do. We share our lives with each other, and there's no pretense between our friendship. How many of you know you've got some friends, but you can kind of tell it's a surface thing? Huh? Yeah, it's a surface thing. But this couple, they said something about us being their friends, and we are so thankful that they are our friends. And that we're theirs. And God's put us together from the first time that we met at that Mimi's restaurant. And Ron Faulkner introduced you to me. I felt a kindred spirit and a knitting of our hearts together. That a beginning of that. And through the years, that's exactly what's happened. And that was in 2005. We've been a long ways, baby. Come a long ways. Thankful for what's happening out there at the gardens. We went out there in the dark last night. And they turned some lights on. Pastor turned some lights on and some water. And I'm thinking, wow. And then the shade area was all lit up. And we were just enjoying what we know is going to be. It's not going to be just a place where people are going to come and look around. I believe it's going to be a testimony of God's grace and His mercy and those different stations as you go around of the life of Christ. I believe that people are going to want to come here, and they just may be tourists that want to see it, but they're going to get the word as they go to each one of those stations. And I believe that the building itself will be a testimony of God's love and His mercy and His grace to every person that comes through those big doors. That's a big door there we walk through, you know. And it's just amazing. And we were going to have our conference here, our October conference here, and it just was too much stuff to get done, so we've moved it to March, and you'd be praying with us and working with your pastors and all of that to get it. We'll have our March meeting here, and it'll be great. That'll be in 2019, but that's just around the corner, whether you know it or not. You know, it's not that far away, and we just had a wonderful Hispanic conference with our Hispanic churches and pastors down in Imperial Beach. And we have some thriving churches down there, and we're thankful. Lemon Grove and Imperial Beach, God's just doing some great things. And we had three of our Hispanic pastors preach, and the worship team there in Imperial Beach did the worship. So the worship and the word was wonderful. It was just great, and the anointing of God was on every message, and the messages dovetailed together. Isn't that like the Holy Ghost? That's just like, okay, for some of you, the Holy Spirit. Okay, that's just like the Holy Spirit, isn't it? To just bring things together, and we all ended up on our faces before God praying, and it was just a wonderful time. But today is a new day. I said it's a new day today, and because it's a new day, God has some new things in store for us. How many of you know that it says that His mercies are new every morning? How many are glad about that? I'm so thankful for that, and. And so I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 26, and we'll get started with that. And let me say, I thank you. How many of you prayed for the situation of the Hurricane Florence back there? Okay, there's six of us. Okay, there's probably a few more, but our oldest granddaughter and her husband are in ministry in a church in Raleigh, North Carolina. And so, and our little great-grandbabies, all boys. And, you know, they go from like five or six down to little Nolan's 1 year old. And that miracle baby. You prayed for them if you prayed for North Carolina. You prayed for our family, and I appreciate that so much. And they did very well. A lot of rain there where they were. A lot of places around them were kind of devastated. But God protected them and their little apartment that they live in right now. But they're full-time. My granddaughter is full-time administrator at the church. And the church is just growing. They helped plant the church about 5 or 6 years ago. And God is just doing some wonderful things there. And we give God the glory and the praise for it. So thank you for praying for them. And pray, continue to pray. There's a lot of relief that has to come. And Pentecostal Church of God is involved in that. We have a national missions ministry that reaches out in these times. We have people. We've got three or four teams headed that direction. In fact, they started out yesterday going there from over the nation with trailers full of tools or whatever is needed to help people rebuild and everything. And I know you watch the news and you may be tired of hearing it, but when you know, and it's just like what happened in Texas. We had so many churches that were damaged, and one was totally destroyed by the hurricane that came in last year. And but God, that's being rebuilt, and God's goodness is great. Amen? Amen. So we give God the glory. No sad stories here. We just know that we go through things, all of us do, and even though we go through things, God is still with us. Amen? He is with us, and we're thankful for that. Now, this place in Scripture that we're going to look at here today in Matthew chapter 26, it's familiar to most of us. This chapter is right at the end of Christ's life as far as on this earth is concerned. And he was headed to the cross, and he brings his disciples together. When you start off in the 26th verse, he's giving them and the 26th chapter of Matthew, he's imparting to them and instituting the new covenant, the blood of the new covenant of the love that God has for us. And that's what it is. And we talked about that last night, that we have a covenant of love with God, and not only with God, but we have a covenant of love with one another. And it should be lasting. It should be. And so it's a familiar chapter. It's a familiar verses of Scripture. But involved in it, we know that God is doing His work in this. And there's something that we can get out of this. You say, well, I've read this before. And I know that there's not anything that I could teach or preach up here this morning that Pastor Matt hasn't already preached through all the years that he has been your pastors here. And there's one thing that I do know, that when he brings a message forth, just like he just encouraged us with Romans 8, and just a wonderful encouragement coming and knowing who we are in Christ Jesus, knowing what Jesus did for us and how the Father sent His only begotten Son for us. And that this kind of gets, ties in with that too. So I think the Holy Spirit has very much to do with this. So, anyway, we're taking a look. Let's begin in verse number 36. So, let's just overview a little bit. Look at verse 31. Jesus said to them all, He said, "All of you are made to stumble because of me tonight." This night, He says. He said, "For it's written." He said, "I'll strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." Will be scattered. And but after those days, He said, "I'll be raised." He tried to prepare His disciples for this very thing, the whole ministry. But they would not, they just did not want to accept the fact that Jesus was going to go to a cross and die for them. They wanted Him to get on the throne. And then they could be one on His left hand, one on His right, and they could rule the Roman government and rule the world. But that wasn't the plan of God. I am glad that wasn't the plan of God. If that was the plan of God, we wouldn't be saved. The plan of God was for Jesus to come and give His life on a cross, be raised on the third day, so that we could have eternal life forever and ever. And so it goes on. But notice what Peter has to say in there, verse 33. And he was speaking for all the disciples. It says that later on. And it said to him, even if I'm made to stumble because of you, said I'll never be made to stumble. He said, if everybody else stumbles, I'm not. That's pretty braggadocious. All these other dudes, they're going to do it. These other 10 that are left, but I'm not. You know, Judas had already left, and he is going to show up on the scene here in a few minutes. But in verse number 34, Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you, that before this night is over, the rooster is going to crow. And he said, you'll deny me three times. And Peter said, even if I have to die. Even if I have to die. You know what? We all feel that way, don't we? We'll never forsake the Lord. We don't want to forsake Him. But notice what he says. He said, I will not deny you. And so said all the disciples. So Peter wasn't alone in this whole thing. And then Jesus goes, and here's where we want to center up, is these last verses right here. Jesus came, and verse number 36, it said, and then to the place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, he said, sit here while we go over there and pray. Pray. Everybody say pray. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, which is, we know, James and John. And he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. And he said to them, he said, my soul's exceedingly sorrowful. He said, even to death. He said, stay here and watch with me. Now he's speaking to Peter, James, and John at this point. So he went a little further beyond them, and he said, he fell on his face and he prayed, saying, oh, my Father, he said, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then he came to the disciples, and they were sleeping. Everybody say, sleeping. They were sleeping. They were found sleeping. And he said to Peter, what, could you not watch with me for 1 hour? And we're familiar with those verses of Scripture. They've been taught, preached, and the lessons on them and all of that. And that those are wonderful verses of Scripture. He says, watch and pray in verse 41, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I always thought that was Jesus talking about himself. But he was talking about the disciples as well as to himself, I think. And when we look at that, we can really see that. I mean, for years I read that as this is what Jesus is saying. You know, my spirit's willing, Father, to do this, but my flesh is weak. But nevertheless, he says, not my will, but yours be done. But here's what I began to see in this not too long ago, is he was speaking to the disciples not to fall into the temptation to fall asleep. He was speaking to their flesh. And he was speaking to their spirit. Because he knew their spirit was willing to stay awake with him all night if they had to. But their flesh was weak. And he said, the temptation's got coming. Basically, that's what he said. He said, watch and pray. And he knew if they were watching and praying, they could stay awake. And again, the second time he went, and the same thing, he said, oh, my Father, let this cup pass from me. You know, unless I drink it. Your will be done. That's what I want to do. I want to do your will, regardless of how I feel. And he came and he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Say, their eyes were heavy. Okay, I'll touch on all this stuff in just a moment. So he left them and he went away again. And he prayed the third time and sang the same words. And he came to the disciples, verse 45. He said, he came to the disciples and he said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise and let us go and see my betrayer. And that's when he met with Judas. And most of you know what took place at that time. Judas came over to him, and Judas had told the high priests and different ones that were with him besides the soldiers. The one that I kiss is going to be the one that is Jesus. So he goes over and he kisses Jesus on the cheek. And yet he called Judas friend. That's not part of the message. I just thought of that. So. Father, we thank you for your word. And this is a great, great thing that we're together today. We have come together as people that love you, people that love one another. And we desire for you to move in our hearts and in our lives. And that when we walk out of this place, we're not only going to know that we've been in your presence, but there'll be a change in us. That we'll become more like you, Jesus. And not only more like you, but let us be doers of your word and not hearers only. We thank you for your word. Thank you for these pastors. Thank you for this precious congregation and what you're working in them. In your name, Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And amen. Now, how many of you have ever fallen asleep when you were driving? I mean, you dozed and you woke yourself up, and obviously you didn't get in a wreck and get killed because you're here. But it could have been. It could have been. I remember when I was 16, right after I got saved. I mean, just a few months after I got saved. I was driving to Turlock from Santa Cruz, which is where we lived. I lived, my dad lived, and my sisters and my stepmom. And Gail, I just started going to the church there, but she really liked me, and I really liked her. We were liking one another. So I'd drive every Friday. I would drive home on Friday afternoon after working construction all day long. And I'd drive home, and I had to cross the Pacheco Pass. How many of you know where Pacheco Pass is? Okay, some of you do. And it's up there in Central California, and there's a big reservoir there now. And I don't even remember if there was one then. This was back in the 60s. But anyway, we went over. And when I drove home, started driving home, twice this happened to me. It was only a two-lane road then. It's a highway now. And when I got to the bottom of the hill, I was so tired. My eyes got heavy. And you know what happens when your eyes get heavy? You fall asleep. And that's what happened. I fell asleep. And just before I hit this embutment that crossed, a concrete embutment that crossed a creek, I woke up and I was able to swerve. That happened to me twice during the time I was working over there. And of course, I only wanted to get back because I wanted to worship Jesus on Friday night youth and love the Lord and all of that and see Gail. And I'm glad you didn't say, and when she kissed me, I turned into a frog. I'm just glad you didn't say that. Prince. But, you know, you do things like that whenever you're young and, you know, infatuated and all of those feelings and, let's just face it, hormones and everything else going on the inside of you whenever you really like somebody. You know, and of course the result is that we eloped. It was probably about a year later, year and a half later, we eloped, and because her dad wouldn't have me because of being his son-in-law, because I wasn't a preacher for one thing at that time, and she wasn't going to marry a preacher, and so she was glad to marry me because I wasn't a preacher. Then I was in construction, but anyway, let me move on with this now. I told you that to tell you how easy it is sometimes in the natural for us to fall asleep. And regardless of how many sermons that we hear, and I'm going to tell you, we can hear anybody preach that we want to hear preach with the devices we have today. You can actually get people that their messages were recorded. Billy Sunday, a lot of those great preachers back at the turn of the century, if they could record them back then, and they could, you can actually find them on your devices and hear them preach then what they preached then. Huh? And you can get all of the great pastors and ministers and preachers, you can get them on your devices. It's a great diamond when we're living. And I'm thankful for that. But besides all of that, being able to have this intake of God's Word and the worship and all the things that we can get on our devices. In general, the church itself is asleep. We're living in a time when this is critical. How many of you know this was a critical time in Jesus' life? This was a critical time in the disciples' life. This is the most crucial time that the church has been in right now. You said, oh, I heard that 10 years ago. Well, it was then and it is now. That hasn't changed. So we have to understand that we're living in this time. And I want to talk to you about the four postures of progression that takes place that's parallel, that's in the natural, that's parallel with our spiritual falling asleep and how we fall asleep spiritually. But we, you know, if we can avoid these things, if we can avoid these four things, here's what we need to understand. If we can avoid those four things, that we won't fall asleep on Jesus. We won't fall asleep at the wheel, so to speak, that parallel. We'll move forward and we'll be people that will be awake in this crucial time that we live in, because there's so many people that still need to hear the message of Jesus. I said there's so many people that need to hear the message of Jesus. And there's so many different ways to be able to reach people today that there wasn't back at the turn of the 19th century to the 20th. Understand? So I'm not talking about at the turn of the century with 2000, okay? I'm talking about back then. And there's ways now that wasn't, even in the year 2000, that where there's ways now that we can reach people that we couldn't then. So there's no excuse for us as a church not to reach out. The vision and the heart of our general bishop is one mission and one movement. And that one mission and one movement has to do with youth ministries, raising up young men and women to do the work of ministries. Amen? And it has to do with world missions, and it has to do with local missions and planting churches and all of those things that we need to do in order to reach. It's very simple, but it's something that we need to keep in our hearts. We have one mission and we have one movement. We move together because we're in unity together in the name of Jesus. So the first posture I want to talk to you about that precedes sleep is that we stop moving. If you notice the disciples stopped moving, you said, well, yeah, well, Jesus told them to, Jesus told them to sit down and rest out here, or just sit down out here and wait for me. He obviously wanted them, and I would imagine that they could hear him talk to Peter, James, and John when he said, watch and pray. Amen. They weren't that far away from Peter, James, and John when he stopped them and said, you guys wait here, you watch and pray. And so he probably expected the rest of them to do the same thing. So I don't know about you, but I've never seen anybody that fell asleep that didn't stop moving first. The reason I almost fell asleep at the wheel, and you too, if you've done that, is because you're not moving yourself. That's the reason why I started eating sunflower seeds after that. My mouth's moving, I'm staying awake, and then later on it came very in handy when my family and I traveled in Central California as the youth directors over that district. And so we'd be driving late at night and I would eat sunflower seeds to keep me awake. Why? Because there's movement involved in it. I said, and your mouth gets raw on the inside, but at least you're moving and you're staying awake. Amen? So we have to come to that place to where we understand that we don't stop moving. But what happens is that we get faced with oppositions. We get faced with problems, with issues, and what happens is we stop moving forward for the kingdom of God. We stop moving forward in our relationship with the Lord. And God wants us to continually move towards Him. And move towards that relationship and building it stronger and stronger so that we can be the witnesses that we need to be. And what happens then is we get stuck in a season. And I don't know what the season is that where you've gotten stuck. I've gotten stuck in a few of them. And it could be financial. It could be divorce. It could be a whole lot of different things. but a loss of a job. And sometimes when people lose their jobs, it doesn't seem like anybody wants to hire you. You feel like you're getting stuck and you start backing away from the Word and you're wondering, God, where are you now? Why is this happening to me now? I've been a tither. I'm still a tither. And I don't understand why this happens. That was just a moment. That was just a short amount of time. Just because you stopped moving forward towards Jesus and now you're stuck. And now here's a word for you today. I really believe this. If you're stuck, you need to start moving again. I said you need to start moving again. Paul said, I am reaching out. He said, I am reaching out for Christ. Moving towards Jesus. We need to start moving towards prayer. Moving towards worship. Moving towards the Word of God. Don't stop moving. Keep moving. Whatever you're faced with that seems to have you stalemated in your relationship with the Lord, it doesn't mean you're lost. It just means that you're incapacitated to be all God wants you to be. And that's not a good place to be. I said that's not a good place to be. The second position is we lay down. And it happened in the garden. Those guys, you know, they laid down. They went to sleep. They closed their eyes. They went to sleep. All of that. So we lay down. And because it happens in the garden, it happens in our lives. And at some point, you have to lay down if you're going to fall asleep. You stop moving, then you lay down. And so that's the second position. Ephesians says, in Ephesians 6 and 13, it says, put on the full armor of God, so in the day of the evil, that you will be able to stand your ground. You said it this morning, Pastor Amy. You said, we can keep standing. We can keep standing. We need to stay standing. And so when he said that, in Ephesians, as Paul wrote that, he was able to stand your ground. He said that after you have done everything, stand. Stand. It said stand. It didn't say fight. Even though we're fighting the good fight of faith when we're standing. And when we're standing, we're speaking what God says about the situation that's in front of us. And if we'll do that, we'll stand. We'll just stand. We're not going to lay down. We're just going to stand. And sometimes I know the enemy will knock us off of our stance. But we don't have to stay off of that stance. We can come back and know that God, by the power of His Word that's within us, and the Spirit of God who dwells and lives within us, thank God that we can still make it through that particular issue that we're faced with, that problem that we're faced with. So it said stand. It didn't say fight. Because the battle is the Lord's. And I'm going to tell you this. God wants us to stand and see the level of victory that you receive is going to come from Him. It's not going to be because of your flesh and blood. Hey, are you hearing what I'm saying? Huh? It's not going to be because of the strength that you have in your physical body. It's going to be because of the strength that you have in the Word. The strength that you have in the power of the Spirit who is living and dwelling on the inside of you. And He wants us to understand that we're not the ones that are fighting the battle. That He will fight the battle for us. In fact, He's already fought it and won. Amen? How many be glad about that? God said, you just need to stand. How many ever seen the Rocky movies? Come on, I think they're doing some kind of a marathon thing, you know, this week or something on that. And I haven't watched any of those. I haven't had time. but I saw a few of them. And I really do like the first one best. The first one is the best one. It just really is. You know, it's unbelievable when you begin to think about everything and how he fought and how he trained for that and came back and he fought. But how many of you remember the little guy, Burgess Meredith, that played Mick? That was his trainer that was always in his corner. Huh? Yeah. Mick, he's a rough guy, kind of an old guy, you know, come on, Rock, you know. Not bad. I got to take a drink of this because I might want to pound this in a minute. Oh, you remember when Rocky would get knocked down? Or he, actually, I had never seen a real boxing match because I used to watch it when I was a kid with my dad. Friday Night Fights is what we watched. Brought to you by Gillette. Amen. Good. So here, I've never seen anybody get hit and him a fighter stagger around and not fall down like Rocky. I know it's a movie, but it's kind of cool to watch. You know, I mean, he was over here. He was at 45 degree angles, you know, even closer to the mat than that. And somehow he'd bring himself back up, you know. And here's Mick over in the corner. Come on, Rock. You get up. Don't let him hit you. Don't let him hit you in the body. You get up, Rock. I'm going to tell you, we got a Mick in our corner. Amen. Right here on the inside, the Holy Spirit of God. And when the enemy comes and he tries to knock us down, and sometimes we do get knocked down, but we don't stay down. We get back up and we stand whenever it would be easier just to lay down. How many of you have been there? It seems like when we're faced with some things that are so difficult, it's easier if we just quit, if we just lay down and not fight anymore. That's exactly what the enemy wants you to do. But you put your trust in the Lord and you take that stand in Him. And I'll tell you what, the enemy can come at you with anything that he's got. And we need to understand this and we need to get a hold of it. He can come with you with everything that he's got and then realize that you're still standing and he cannot win. And that's one of the things that happened in that first movie. When they went over to the corner of his opponent, they said, "You gotta hit this guy." He said, "I've hit him with everything I've got and he won't go down." I'm gonna tell you something, the devil will say the same thing about us. If we'll just stand. If we'll just know that God is our God and that we are His people and that if we trust in Him and we believe what His Word says, He'll raise us up and He'll do that work of the power of His Spirit in us and we'll come through that issue. Like I said, I don't care if it's finances. I don't care if it's divorce. I don't care if it's your kids are out there somewhere and you don't even know where they're at. God knows. And if your kids are have been committed to God and dedicated to God and you know they are, amen, then you can stand on that. You can stand on the fact that you've dedicated your children to God and the devil's not going to get them. Amen. Stand. Just stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God's working His grace. Does anyone here today want to just tell the devil something? Anybody here want to just speak it out? You know, well, I don't talk to the devil because, you know, some people don't believe there's a devil. Huh? But there is. There is the enemy of your soul. Sometimes it's you. Huh? Sometimes, mostly it's you, and we blame it on the devil. Huh? It's the way it is with me, and maybe it's just me, but, you know, decisions that I've made, and, just not being where I needed to be with God. I made wrong decisions. And we have to know, though, that we're still standing. Amen? The devil tries to take you out. You tried to, you know, the devil's tried to take your children out. You just tell the devil, you are a liar and your pants are on fire. Just tell him that. And mean it. And mean what you're saying. And know that God, say, I'm still standing, devil. Go ahead. Say, I'm still standing. I'm still praising. I'm still worshiping. I'm still giving. I'm still loving. I don't care how people treat me. I'm going to love them anyway. And that's hard to do sometimes. I said that's hard to do. When you've confided in people and you've loved people and you've helped them out of their difficult things. And then they turn on you. What is it? What are we? How are we going to get through it? Stand. Just stand. Just continue to stand. And God, by His grace. Now, number three, let me move on. I got two more, and I want to cover them. And I know that you want to hear them. Okay, one more. Okay, let me give you another one here. All right, we get comfortable. I said we get comfortable. Number one, we stop moving. Number two, we lay down. Number three, we get comfortable. That's how we go to sleep when we want to lay down and rest at night. I'm glad you had that great rest and that wonderful dream that you told us about. And that's great. God affirming to her that there's no enemy too big. There's no beast too big that God, by the power of His Spirit, can't cause to vanish just like that. Whenever we call upon the Word and begin to speak the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
So that was powerful. That encouraged me today. Now listen. I don't know about you, but when I lay down at night, I got to get comfortable if I'm going to go to sleep. So I always make sure that my pillow is in the right position. Huh? I carry it with me everywhere I go. It's my pillow. And no other pillow will do for this head. Not a commercial, just something goofy. All right. Amen. It has to be in the right position. How many of you know? I don't care whether you have the my pillow or you have your pillow or what. It's got to be in the right position for you to get comfortable. Amen. And here's what we need to understand about getting comfortable. Listen close now. The drug of choice for the church today, and I'm not talking about next gen folks. I'm not talking about old gen folks. I'm talking about the church as a whole. Doesn't mean it's this church. It's probably the church on the other side of town. But listen to me. I'm talking about the church. We want it as easy as possible. Don't we? We want it as easy as possible. And here's the reason why. It's our culture. It's our culture today. We got fast food. We got microwaves. We got all those different things. And so we want it as easy as possible. We want to get rich quick. We want to lose 30 pounds in 10 days. I know I need to. You know, we want God's promises. Let's see, we want God's promises. Here's the thing, without God's process, if you don't write anything else down, write it down. We want God's promises without God's process. There's always a process. Am I right, Pastor? There is always a process to His promises. We want God's blessing. We want God's pleasure. But not be a blessing. When God says, I want you to be a blessing. Jesus, listen. Jesus didn't die for our comfort. We think He did. Huh? He didn't die for our comfort. But to give us what? A calling. To give us eternal life. To remove the shame and the sin from our lives. How many of you are glad He removed the shame and the sin from your life when He saved you? And there's some people that they get saved and they still wrestle with it. And the enemy still tries to come against them about the shame of what their past life was. And all of that. But God's saying to us, I died for you to demolish that shame. And give you a calling. Not comfort. It doesn't sound like comfort if you take up your cross daily. It sounds like pain to me. The point of the cross is new life. The point of the cross is the resurrection. Hallelujah. The point of the cross is old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Amen? The point of the cross is the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now dwells in me and lives in me. Thank God. Amen? So He lives in us. So the point of the cross, we understand that point of the cross, then we can understand the pain of the cross. If we understand the point. So when we become comfortable, then we become complacent. And then we come to the place where tomorrow becomes captivity if we become complacent today. And we don't want to be held captive by anything. We don't want to be held captive by anything except Jesus. Amen? And when we come to that place, see, comfort today is going to mean change tomorrow. If all we want is comfort as children. And listen, folks, and I know He's came to bless you and bless you financially and bless you with the homes that you live in, the cars that you drive, all of that. That's all part of the blessing. But when that's the only thing we're after, then we're looking for just the comfort. Because He may, listen, He just may ask us to do something that's very uncomfortable. That we don't want to do because it's not the comfortable thing to do. So the Word of God tells us that. And so we don't want to become complacent any longer. We need to stretch ourselves. We need to stretch ourselves in our giving. We need to stretch ourselves in our loving. We need to stretch ourselves in the Word of God. Go further in the Word of God than we ever have before. If the enemy can get you led by comfort instead of your calling, then he can get you to sleep. I said he can get you to sleep. Comfort to your flesh will be death to your passion. Amen. I mean, I'm telling you. The young men that preached, young pastors, Hispanic pastors, they're just doing wonderful in their churches. And the passion that they had. But if the enemy could take anything from them, it would be their passion for God. And their passion for souls. We don't want that to happen. First position is stop moving. Second is laying down. Third is getting comfortable. And the fourth is you close your eyes because they get heavy. Huh? A few things happen when we close our eyes. While I'm closing. Spiritually, we lose sight of God's promises. When we close our eyes spiritually, we lose sight of His promises. You take your eyes off of the Word of God and you will fall asleep. If you want to know the future of what God has in your future for your future life, it's found in God's promises. And I believe in prophetic words of people speaking over us. I've had it happen to me. And those are wonderful. But God's Word is the guide. If it doesn't line with what God's Word is, and it doesn't settle right in your spirit, you've got to move on. Now, I don't know. You know, if you know that His promises, then you can keep moving. You can keep standing. And now you're calling. If you don't know your calling, if you don't keep standing, you can't know what your calling is. I don't know what you're going through right now. I really don't. But Sister Pastor said that there'll come a time when we'll have a time of prayer, and we're going to have a time of prayer. Whatever you're going through, God is able to take you through that if you'll just stay standing. If you just keep your eyes open to the Word. God is not just on your side. He's not just beside you. He's inside you. Amen? His Word is inside you. Pastor and I were walking back from turning the lights off, and the ladies had already gotten back in the car, and we were walking back up, and we were talking about the different stations, and he had his flashlight out and getting his back to the door, and he said the Spirit and the Word agree, as he was talking about one of the stations. The Spirit and the Word agree. Now, you're not going to find that in Scripture, but you will find it as a principle through God's Word. The Spirit and the Word always agree. That's why you have to stay in the Word and stay close to God through prayer. Don't lose sight of what God is doing right now that He wants to do through you. You may think it's little. You may think it's small. You may think it's insignificant, that it doesn't matter. To God, you're significant. To God, whatever He's doing right now in your life, He's pointing you towards even a greater destiny than where you're at right now. We have all of these little destinies that God has for our lives. All of these particular things that He moves us through. It may be flipping burgers today. Amen? It may be something that seems so small that you can't see how this could be a calling or a destiny that God has for you. Yeah, that's right. I'm watching these kids in the nursery, in the church here, and you know, I got to spank this kid of mine 20 times a day to get them to mind, changing their diapers and all of that. Let me tell you something. If you do it out of a heart of love, I guarantee you, you will receive a reward of a golden diaper when you get to heaven. Without any surprise in it. God has reward for everything. It may not be a golden diaper, but anyway, you know what I'm saying. Amen. So what are we going to do? Listen, this is the best decade of ministry that we're living in right now. I'm telling you, folks. That's why the church cannot afford to fall asleep. That's why we can't individually fall asleep. Some of you might feel like falling asleep right now, but listen close. 1.5 billion with a B people have never heard the name of Jesus. 1.5 billion people in the world have never heard the name of Jesus. You would be surprised at the people that live close to you that's never really heard the name of Jesus. That waitress or that server that waits on you that does not know anything about Jesus that's been raised right here in America. Right in this town. That's never heard the name of Jesus unless it was a cuss word. Yeah. Gail and I prayed with one server here not too long ago. And we asked her, is there something you want us to help you pray about? And she said, pray? What's prayer? College student. And I said, it's you talking to God, Creator God, just like we're talking here. And Gail and I both began to just talk to her about how much God loved her. And Gail took her by the hand and we prayed with her. We didn't make a scene, a spectacle of it or anything. We just said, we're going to keep our eyes open and we're going to pray for you just like we're talking. And Gail began to pray, and I began to pray. We didn't try to get loud. We just wanted her to know that God loved her, and there were people that loved her, and that God could do a difference and change in her life. She's one of those 1.5 billion that had never heard that Jesus came and died for her, to give His life for her, so that she could be redeemed and set free. Raised in a good family. Raised in a great family. Had all the finances in the world for her to go to college and all of that, but she was working, kind of helping herself going through. Probably mom and dad said, we're not just going to put the whole bill. You got to go to work. But she never heard about Jesus' love for her. So we got a job. Amen? We can't afford to fall asleep. You keep oversleeping on the job that you're at, or you fall asleep at the job where you're at, you ain't going to have a job where you're working at in the natural. Right? Listen, we've got to stay awake spiritually so that we can do the calling and the job in which God has brought us to. Amen? Let's stand up. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You're so wonderful, Lord. You're so great. You do miracles. There's no one like you. There is no one like you. But Lord, I'm thankful that you made us in your likeness and in your image. And you came to redeem that which was lost. And we were lost. Every one of us were lost. And Lord, we do not want to come to the place where we do not care about others that are lost that need to come to you. We don't want to fall asleep on that, Lord. We want to be what you have called us to be, and that's to be reconcilers, soul winners. So we believe you, Jesus. We believe you, Jesus. We believe you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I want you to say this with me. I'm going to stay awake. I'm going to keep moving. I'm not going to lay down. I'm not going to get comfortable. Amen? Amen. I'm going to keep moving. Thank God. Thank God. If you're here this morning, I don't know each of you. Your pastor knows you better. Pastor, come on up and stand with me here if you will. I appreciate it. If you would. Here's the thing. We're here to minister. You're here. You're there to minister to one another. And I want us to do that. I want us to pray for each other today. If you have a special thing in your life, that your issue that you're faced with, that it just seems like the enemy is trying to knock you down and keep you down, and you want to have us pray with you, that you're going to stay standing. The Holy Spirit inside of you is saying, come on, you can do it. Don't lay down. Stay standing. Amen. If you're here and you need prayer, come, please. Come. And we're going to pray with you. In this place. In this place. Hallelujah. That's it. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. Now, this precious lady I know is not the only one that needs prayer, but we're going to pray for you. And God is going to do a work. And it wouldn't matter if everybody came. You're here, and you need the hand of God to touch you in your life. You believe what was preached today. You believe what this pastor and sister pastor preaches. So you know the word. And so we're going to believe God together. You're going to stand. You're going to stand in the name of